his old pastime.
Krishna's pastimes. So according to Rupa Goswami, Shri Krishna appeared in Mathura and the form he took was a form called Vasudeva with four hands. We know the story how the four-handed Vasudeva was brought by Vasudeva. There is a difference between Vasudeva and Vasudeva was his father, and Vasudeva was the name of the Vishnu. Vishnu who took birth as his son. Vasudeva is a transcendental state also, and this means that if a person has no purity in his mind and his heart, cannot invite Krishna in his heart. So Vasudeva was a pure devotee. At the same time, in the previous life, he had a desire, and he had the desire that Vishnu appears as his son. This is a very good desire. There are much worse desires than that. Still, it was a personal desire. He wanted Krishna to appear in his house. So it was not a pure devotion. Pure devotion means I don't want anything. Actually, I do want what you want. So Vasudeva, in his previous life, did not ask Vishnu or Krishna if he wanted to be his son. He said, no, I want you as my son. So because of that, Vasudeva could not be, and Devaki, they could not be the parents of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But only, well, it's not a little thing, of Vishnu in a Vasudeva form, a four-handed Vasudeva. At the same time, when Krishna, Vasudeva, was taking birth in Mathura, on the other side, on the other bank of the Yamuna, where is Gokula, Yashoda was also delivering. Yashoda was Nanda Maharaj's wife. Everybody knows this, of course. Is there anyone who is the first time coming here? Or you? So maybe you not understand exactly most of the thing.
I'm following along.
Okay. There may be other occasions where we talk about basic philosophy so that you can have some information on our philosophy. Today is a special day for us because in a few days will be Krishna Janmashtami, which is the day where Krishna, more than 5,000 years ago, came in this world. So as traditionally, the Vaishnavas, which is the Krishna's devotees, they meet in the days before Janmashtami. They talk about Krishna only, talk about Krishna, and don't talk much about philosophy. Philosophy is the answer to questions, while Krishna's activity is not necessarily answer to questions. It's just a pleasure of listening, pleasure of telling the story and listening to the story. So, something like that. When you see our portraits in the temple, not always there is a reason why. It is simply like that, you know. Why you are a man? There is no reason. You are a man because you are a man. You born as a man. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. It is the Supreme Lord. That's activity. He is not someone who doesn't do anything. There are a lot of activities going on in the spiritual sky, and these activities, because they are in the spiritual sky, they don't need a reason. That is called Lila. Lila is like play. When you were a kid, when I was a kid, we used to play. There was a reason? No, we just liked to play. we were not paid. We were not. There was no specific reason why we're playing. It's just a pleasure. So in the spiritual world, it's also like this: that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and his devotees also. Krishna is not alone in the spiritual sky. A lot of people. So they do things not because they need, not because there are reasons, not because they want to teach something. They do it out of pure internal pleasure. This is called Lila. So we are talking about Lilas, because Krishna came in this world to enact Lilas. There was also some part of his life when he did something for a reason, because he wanted to teach us something. But this is another part of the story. And during a period of his life, the later part of his life, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita. And if you have not read Bhagavad Gita, you have not read philosophy. So please, tonight, don't go back to your home if you don't have a copy of the Bhagavad Gita. Ask anyone. Please, you should take a Bhagavad Gita. You read it, then you come back, you put questions, and all our heart will answer to all questions. So Krishna came in this world for several reasons, mainly for three reasons. And one of these reasons is to enact the Lilas, to give pleasure, because devotees alike, they like to do what we are doing now. Just remember Krishna, what he did, what he said, like this. So, and because of that, Paritranaya Sadunam means that Krishna comes to give pleasure to the devotees. So Krishna appeared in a place called Mathura in India. It still exists, in a big city. It's a couple of million, it's almost like Dallas. A big city. The difference is that here, to see two different people, you had to walk a few hundred meters. There in Mathura, you walk 100 meters, you find 10,000 people. That's the difference. It's a very crowded place. So Krishna appeared in Mathura in one of his forms. And on the other side of the Yamuna, which is a river, there was another place called Gokula, still existing, Gokula also. It's not as big as Mathura, but still it's a town. It's a quite big town, actually. And Nanda Yashoda was delivering another child. And it was dark, because it was late at night. So they didn't see that Yashoda was delivering not one child, which is a female, but also a twin. It was a male. And that is the original Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there was a dark, and there was at his side, Yashoda was sleeping, and the children, they were sleeping. Vasudeva, the father of the other Krishna, the four-handed Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, took his child, because he was in a prison, and brought him outside the jail, and crossed the river, crossed the Yamuna, and went to Mother Yashoda place. And he exchanged the child. He put his child Vasudeva Krishna, and he took the female, whose name was Yogamaya. So we all know the story, except you, unfortunately, but you'll know the story one day, very soon, that when Kamsa was the one who put in jail Vasudeva and Devaki, took the child to kill her, she lifted in the sky, huge form, with eight hands, and he said, "You are a fool. The one who is destined to kill you is already born, is safe, is somewhere else." So Kamsa really began to worry, because if you receive a voice from the sky, you worry. But if you see a form, eight-handed form, you really worry. You are in paranoia. So Kamsa didn't know where Krishna was, but at the time, there was this two Krishna, Krishna Shamasundar of Vrindavan, Krishna Vasudeva of Mathura, in the same bed. So they came together, they mixed together, they become one personality. And the same personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who act, when he acts in Lila, playing with his friends, the gopis and the gopas, that is the original Krishna. And when that Krishna kills demons, like we read about Putana, who was the first demon killed by Krishna, and then there was Shakatasura, and then there was Trinavarta, and after Trinavarta, the coward man started to worry. So if you cross the Yamuna from Vrindavan, you can cross the Yamuna in two places. One is in Mathura, and the other one is in Vrindavan itself. There is a bridge. You may call it a bridge. It's not really a bridge. It's a wooden with strange things underneath. But you can cross it. And from there, you can go south the Yamuna, and at a certain point, you can reach, first, you reach Raval, which is the place where Srimati Radharani took her birth, or appeared, and after a few kilometers, you meet Gokula. After Gokula, there is Mahavan, and after Mahavan, there is Dauji. In Dauji, finished. The spiritual sky is no more. There finishes the Vrajamandal place. So when you arrive in Dauji, you pay obeisances to Sri Baladeva. I prepared all my lecture the other day talking about Baladeva, but there was no time. Anyway, some other day I will tell the stories about Baladeva. So you come back. You don't want to go outside Vrajamandal, because that becomes India. We are not interested in India. We are interested in the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is called Vrajamandal. Then you go back. So that place, there were these demons, as we have read, huge demons who tried to kill Krishna. The coward man said, this place is not safe. They didn't know what exactly was going on. They only know that there were too many demons, better to change place. So they, even at that time, they were called Vrajavasi. You know, who knows what Vraja means in Sanskrit? Vraj, from Sanskrit, it means to go, to move. Yeah, so Vrajavasi are people who move. They don't always stay in the same place. And Vasi comes from Vas, Sanskrit. Vas means place, stay in a place. So Vrajavasi are the persons who move from place to place depending from necessities. So there were not something really strange for them to move and go in other places. So they packed up all the things and cows and calves and everything, and they started to look for another place. So they came to know, since in Vrajamandal, which is a big circle, and inside these circles there are 12 forests. Even at the time, more than 5,000 years ago, there were 12 forests. Five on the eastern side of the Yamuna, and seven on the western side of the Yamuna. And there were one of the seven forests on the western side of Yamuna was particularly famous, very famous. And there was news that they were very sweet, and there were cuckoos and pasturing grounds, and was extremely beautiful from all point of views. So the coward people knew this, so they said, why don't we go to Vrindavan at least? Let's go there, stay there for some time. We find places where we can defend ourselves from these demons, and then we move to the definitive place. So they crossed the Yamuna at the height, at the place where the Vrindavan forest was. They crossed the forest, the Vrindavan forest. They went through the whole forest. It's not a big forest. Today, it may be about maybe 10 kilometers from one side of the Yamuna to the end of what once was the Vrindavan forest. So it wasn't a huge forest. Still, it was, you know, respectable forest. So they crossed this forest, and they decided to stop. So since there were a lot of people, there were hundreds of thousands of there, with millions of cows, there was a huge crowd of people. So they stayed in different places, depending on clans. You know, there were the clan of Ananda Maharaj, the clan of Vrishabhanu, the clan of this, the clan of that. So they were like groups, towns of people. So Ananda Maharaj was the father of Krishna. He stopped in a place which is called Shatikara. It still exists in this place. You find Shatikara on the right side when you arrive to Vrindavan from the highway from Delhi. You arrive in Vrindavan, you turn left from Vrindavan, and on the right you see the town. The town is Shatikara, and it's the place where Krishna father stopped for some time. We don't know exactly how many months or years it took. Thank you. How long they stayed there? But they stayed there for some time. A few kilometers away, there is a place that all Indian body devotees can read, because it is written in Devanagari, which is called by the Western, and if they don't have not learned the alphabet, who cannot read it. The place is called Ral. It's about maybe 8 kilometers away, going from Shatikara towards the Govardhan Radhakunda. There is a small town which is called Ral, and in this place Vrishabhanu Maharaj stopped there with Srimati Radharani for all that time. So during that time, Krishna and Radharani, they were very very young. They were about 2-3 years old. So there are not many pastimes at that time between them. Actually, they said Radha and Krishna started to see each other as lovers in a place called Javat. Javat is a place which is a little, you know, halfway between Varshana and Andagram. Whoever has been to India knows this place. Anyway, different authorities say different things, so we don't adventure ourselves in trying to establish who is right, who is wrong, because all of them are our worshipable authorities. So after some time, they discovered places where it was easier to defend themselves, and especially since the main persons who were attacked were Krishna and Radharani. Not many people knows that Radharani was even more in danger than Krishna. Who knows why? That's a Brahma Vaivarta Purana says the story. Because Kamsa wanted to marry Srimati Radharani. That was the why, the story. The story has been told that Kamsa wanted to marry. He heard about the beauty and sweetness of this girl, and he chased after her. But in a way or in another, she could escape. So he even sent, originally, there was a long story, I'm not going to tell it now, how before sending Putana to kill Krishna, he sent Putana to kidnap Radharani. That was why she was found in the Yamuna, in front of Raval, because she dropped from Putana's embrace. She had, since she didn't know who Radharani was, so she kidnapped a few little girls who were born during that time, and there was Lalita and Vishaka, there was a whole group of gopis that was kidnapped by, and Vishaka was found in the Yamuna. And as Yamuna and Vishaka is the same transcendental personality. There is also a very nice story about Vishaka being found in the Yamuna River. So anyway, going back to the coward man finding places, especially Nanda Maharaj and Vrishabhanu Maharaj, they found places on top of hills, because everyone knows that it's easier to defend yourself if you are on top of a hill, because you can see, you know, people, you can see your enemies coming. So so they founded a town called Nandagram, which is the place where Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, Sri Krishna and Balaram and all the Nanda Maharaj clan lived. And not very far, but even not very near, It should be maybe around 15 kilometers, more or less, 20. From Nandagram is Varshana. And in Varshana, Srimati Radharani grew up. And all around Varshana you can see the towns of the gopis. You know that Varshana is four hills, not only one. You know, and down the hills that there were, or still there are, the places of the gopi. You can see while you go up in the parikrama. Am I boring you?
No.
No? It's okay? Do I continue? Or? Okay. So still the town of Gopi Chitra is there. I don't remember the name of this town. It's just a point of my tongue. When I will surface, I will tell you. But it's when you do the parikrama of Varshana, which is short compared to Vrindavan or Govardhan, which is very long. It's just about 6-7 kilometers of. Then you go through the town of Gopi Chitra, who is one of the main Radharani's gopi. You go through the town and then you climb on the first of the four hill, and then you go all around, and then you go down from the palace of Vrishabhanu Maharaj down again to terminate, to finish your holy and blissful parikrama. So in these places, Krishna and Radharani and everybody else, they grew up. And because of the particular nature of the transcendental abode, they were able to bring the cows to the Govardhan Hill. You know, to bring cows from Nandagram to Govardhan, you know, you really need to run. It's just not possible. But every day, Krishna would go from Nandagram to Govardhan. But in the middle, there is Varshana. So Krishna was sneaking around and trying to meet Srimati Radharani, to see Srimati Radharani on the top of the other hill. And so because of Yoga Maya, a wonderful arrangement, it was possible for Krishna and the cows and the gopas and the gopis to meet each other, sometimes even in Vrindavan, which is about 30 kilometers. From Nandagram is even more, it's about 40 kilometers around. So it's a long distance. Still, every day Krishna and gopis, they would go to Vrindavan or go to Govardhan or go to other places to do their pastimes. The favorite place of Krishna and Radharani is Govardhan, is a hill. This hill has the particularity of shrinking down. It's shrinking down. You can see it actually. Every year you go there, you find more stones around. They're increasing. And this is a long story. I think everyone who doesn't know the story of why Govardhan is shrinking, raise the hands. All, you know, we are full of pandits here. You don't need to tell the story, to hear the stories. So one day we'll tell the story how and why Govardhan Hill is shrinking on the ground. And they would go there because at that time Govardhan was much higher, and there were forests, there were rivers, and Yamuna also was a branch of the Yamuna was flowing in Govardhan. Not anymore, actually it does, but you cannot, if you don't know, you don't see it. It's a small stream that you don't know this thing. Okay, when you arrive to you know, there is the way you arrive there, and then you have to turn right and you go to Radhakunda. Then if you don't turn right, if you're on a little left, then it's a few meters actually, you see there is a little stream. Looks like a sewage actually, you know. But that is the Yamuna according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, Goswami Maharaj. So it's a branch of the Yamuna that arrives in that place through the ground, and then he... At that time though, there was a river There was a big branch of the Yamuna flowing in Govardhan. So it must have been a very wonderful place. And you have flowery and hill and the Yamuna there, and so many nice places. Must have been really wonderful. And even today, if you go to Govardhan, you don't want to go away. It's the most unbelievable, peaceful place you can get in life. And the devotees, they do parikrama. Pari means around, and krama means step. So walking around. That is the meaning of parikrama. And especially when you go after the Govinda Kund, starts a part of the Govardhan where not many people are there. There are not many houses, and you arrive to Punchari, which is the tail of the Yamuna, and there are two small lakes that not many people know, so nobody goes. So you go there to chant your rounds, so not many people bother you asking for money and things like that. So you really enjoy life in those places, chanting Hare Krishna, remembering. There's one place called Apsarakunda. There's a wonderful story about Apsarakunda. And then there is another, there are two actually. One is Apsarakunda, the other one, and sorry, I don't remember the name. So anyway, a lot of stories. Then you go up again, and you find places like Jatipur, the place of Madhavendra Puri. The followers of Madhavendra Puri, they say that is the place in Jatipur where Krishna lived, the Govardhan Hill, where the Gaudiya Vaishnava, we say that Krishna lived the Govardhan Hill on the other side, where is Govinda Kunda. And there is an eternal discussion between them. They always, no, it's here, no, it's there. Anyway, doesn't really matter where Krishna did it. But these discussions are very, very sweet to hear. So there was one very nice place. Yeah, you trick me. That's the truth. He told me, you go to... No, if you...
Yes.
You prefer the chair?
No.
Yes. So welcome to Giriraj Maharaj. So we arrive to the point where Krishna and father and Radharani's father, they found their towns on top of hills for defensive reasons. So they are still there. You can go and find them. So we also said how, due to Yogamaya's arrangement, it was possible at that time for Krishna and the other cower to travel for many kilometers. If you try to bring a big cowherd from Nandagram to Govardhan, is simply not possible. What to speak about Vrindavan? From Nandagram to Govardhan is about maybe 20 kilometers. From Vrindavan is around 40 kilometers. So it wasn't possible from material calculation to do that. But because Krishna wants to enjoy going in several places, it's not like us. We would like to be in a place where we can go, because it takes money, it takes time, it takes energy. But Krishna wants to go in different places. And the places in Brajamandala at the time, especially in that zone, Govardhan zone, were so many, so beautiful. Krishna wanted to enjoy all of them. So how to do? Then there is a special personality called Yogamaya, who arranges places to be reachable in a very easy fashion, very easy way. So Krishna will go in this beautiful place. I told a little bit the story before Maharaj came, how Govardhan was different at that time than it is now. Govardhan now is shrinked, there are not many trees, there is no rivers anymore, but at that time Govardhan Hill was full of rivers and trees. It was a lush place, it was very beautiful. So they would go there, many caves also. It was a very beautiful place for children to go and play. And there are still are many ponds or lakes where they would go and swim. And many of them are now dry, so they cannot go anymore to play. But there are many ponds where they can go and have a lot of fun. There is a very particular place that Krishna likes very much, and everyone knows, of course, the Radhakunda. Radhakunda is like the center of everyone going to Govardhan. They want to go to Radhakunda. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for the first time in Vrindavan, Radhakunda was not manifested anymore. There was no Radhakunda, it was just field. So he and his disciples were going around asking where Radhakunda was. And there was one place which was not actually a town, it was just a small group of houses or huts. And that place was called Haritagram. Haritagram, maybe you can get the similitude between Arista and Harita. So when the local scholars said, oh, this place is Haritagram, and then there was also a small pond there, very small, maybe just a couple of square meters there. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just touched the water and became completely static. The small pond is still existing, it is called Kanchanakunda. Kanchanakunda is in the middle of Radhakunda, and is visible only when Radhakunda is emptied. And it was emptied. Then, when it's completely emptied, then Kanchanakunda is visible. Kanchanakunda is the place where everything began. When the gopis started to dig, that it was the original place. Then it became bigger because of the water was coming up, and Raghunath Das Goswami worked to make the small pond in a bigger pond, etc. But the original Radhakunda was just a small thing, maybe like this. I saw it many years ago when the Radhakunda was emptied. It was just small like this. And the water comes up, and that is Radhakunda. The story of Radhakunda everyone knows, of course. We are in front of so many pandits here. There was this big bull demon called Arishtasura. He was one of Kamsa's friends. And he was sent, like all the other demons, to kill Krishna and the coward boys. So Arishtasura came in this place at the head of Govardhan, and he started to make mess, you know, to charge people and trying to kill people. It was a nice thing. I was doing parikrama of Govardhan, and we were talking actually with other devotees about the story, and there you had devotees who knows a lot of details, you know, and even details are the like the spice of a preparation. You have a preparation, then a little thing can change the flavor. One of the problems of the devotee, they don't talk much about Krishna, and the reason is because they don't know much, they don't study much. So I invite all of you, myself included, to study more in such a way you have more things to say, so that association with devotee may be sweeter and sweeter. So we were talking about this, and then we saw a big bull, was huge, and he was running after a cow, and this cow was running away, and this huge bull was running the mountain. So we say, you know, that we were talking about Arista Sura, look at that. I was like, nice. And when you stay in the holy place, there is always a little things happening that gives you remembrance of the Supreme Lord. It's very sweet. Nowhere else in the world you get this taste. There are small things, like very, very small. But then when you go back home in the night, you see how wonderful Krishna is and how he still manifests in the holy place if you are receptive to his presence and message. So Arista Sura was trying to kill the gopas and gopis. So Krishna intervened and took Arista Sura and crushed him on the ground and killed him. And the exact place of where Arista Sura landed, we know where it is. And if you go to Radhakunda, you can see that there is a Radhakunda and Shyamakunda. And there is a small bridge, you know, that is called Sangam, between actually the two lakes. They communicate one with the other beneath the bridge. The bridge doesn't go down; it's just, you know, superficial. So in that place there is one tank that you don't see if the lake is not devoid, and that place is marked by kind of a tank which was put there by Krishna's grandson, whose name was Vajranaba. Vajranaba is a very important personality, although we never talk about him. We don't know much about him also. But he's very important because he did a lot of work in Vraja, trying to establish deities and the places in such a way that in the future the people would be able to go and stay there and meditate on Krishna and serve Krishna in the exact place where Krishna pastimes took place. So this place is called Vajranabakunda, actually, is there. And you can see it if you bend and you go with a face in the Shyamakunda, you can see the tank. It's still there. So in that place, when Krishna killed Arishtasura, the gopis, they were very happy. And you know, when you are happy, you play. You want to do something funny. So the gopis said, "Oh, you killed a bull. You should not kill a bull. A bull is very useful. It's very important. Without a bull, it's like without male in the world. If there are no males in the world, the women, they cannot have children. So without children, the world will become empty. It will be finished, the whole creation. So the bull is very important. It's the father. You kill your father. So you have become contaminated now. We don't want association with you anymore." And Krishna said, "Oh no, but I want to play. You know, we stopped our play because this demon came. Now I killed the demon. Let's resume the play. The games we were doing before. No. You are now contaminated. We don't want to touch you. We don't want even to see you." And Krishna asked, "So how I'm going to atone for this or this sin?" And he said, "You should go. You should go all over the universe and bathe. Take bath in all the rivers and lakes, all the holy waters in the universe." So in the universe there are a lot. It's not only the earth that has rivers, so we don't see them, but every planet in the universe is inhabited. So Krishna said, Krishna, who is a very trickery person, transcendentally trickery person, he thought, if I go traveling, I will be long time before I start again my plays, my games. So what did he do? That he put his lotus feet on the ground and he pressed very strongly. So he created depression. And he ordered all the holy rivers and lakes of the universe to please come there and put some water. So they came and they filled up what in the future will be called as Shamakunda. And if you see it from height, actually that's a little bit of a form of a foot, you know, with five places, you know, they are still there. You can see. So at that point the gopis, they felt cheated, but at the same time they said, well, he bathed in all the waters, so, you know, he cheated a little bit, but, you know, we didn't order him to go, we ordered to bathe in the holy waters. So he did it. So we can start again the place with him, but we don't want Krishna to think that he is superior to us. You see, the concept of Supreme Personality of Godhead, see, Krishna is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it's not the main divine concept. It is the main divine concept for most of the religion in the world, actually for all the religions of the world, but not for our philosophy, our religion. We are the only one in the world, probably, to have another concept, another perspective of Krishna. The Krishna is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but mainly it is our supreme, lovable person. So much so that when the gopis were looking for Krishna in Vrindavan forest, and met Narayana, who is one of the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, all glories to you, where is Krishna? Because they didn't really care about Krishna being the Supreme Person, or being the Creator, or being the person with absolute powers. Love is more important than any other consideration. So probably, just talking by absurd, we could say that the gopis and everybody would love Krishna even if he was not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is, of course, that's only theoretical concept, because Krishna he would not be so attractive if he was not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, the idea of love being superior to any other consideration is there. So Srimati Radharani said, okay, we continue the play. Actually, this game is even sweeter than the other. He said, okay, you create the lake, but what do you think? You think maybe that we cannot create a kunda by ourselves? You created the kunda just by pressing your foot in the floor, and we will create the lake by excavating with our bracelets. So they brought the bracelets, started to excavate, and the place where they excavated, that is, as I said before, called Kanchanakunda. So when the place was become a kunda, a little bigger than Shamakunda, because the gopis wanted to establish their superiority respect to Krishna, then they started to fill it up. Now, authorities say different things how the kunda was filled up, and all of them are bona fide, so we accept that Radha Kunda was created in different times, and every time they filled it up in a different way, or whatever it is, we had to accept all of them, because if Jiva Goswami says something and Varadeva Vidyabhushana says something else, or any other authority say, we must accept all of them. We cannot say no. Like in Varshana, authorities say that Radharani appeared in Varshana. We know that Radharani did not appear in Varshana. So I had some discussion with some pandits, and they say, no, that's a different millennium. And Radharani, not the original form. The Radharani, the original form of the Supreme Personality of God, the feminine counterpart, the Supreme, but it was another Radharani with inferior tattva, let's say, appeared in Varshana. So anyway, according to one authority, Radharani called again all the holy places, all the holy waters of the universe, he filled it up. According to another authority, the gopis, they did, you call it a chain of persons? Chain of persons? Up to Manasiganga. And they started to take the water from the Manasiganga, putting the water from one gopi to the other one, up to, so there were a lot of gopis, because Manasiganga is quite a few kilometers, maybe, I don't know, speculating, maybe, I don't know, 5-6 kilometers, more or less. So you need quite a few gopis to to cover the distance. Anyway, we know that the gopis are many, so there was no problem of people. Manasiganga is a lake which is in center of Govardhan Hill, another most wonderful place also to go and chant and peacefully meditate and talk about Krishna. And it was originated by Krishna, Manasi, by his mind, you know, Manasa, also called Manasa Ganga. And so this Radhakunda became one, maybe the most important place in Krishna, Radha in Krishna's pastimes. There is where the most intimate pastimes within Radha Krishna happen, still happening in Radhakunda. So, okay, so we said how Krishna was attacked by demons. We told the story how they crossed the Yamuna. They stopped in the outskirts of the Vrindavan forest, waiting for the towns to be built up. We told how they established themselves in the towns, and how Krishna, Radha, and gopis and gopas, they would go to different places to play pastimes. We told the story on Radhakunda. What else should we tell? There are no end. We can talk for years and yugas.
Did they end up filling up the lake?
Yeah, the lakes were completely filled up. They are still filled up. A beautiful place you can go when you will be an advanced devotee. We'll go together. I'll show you the place and I will tell you more stories about Radhakunda and Shyamakunda. That is a very intimate place. You know, there are. First time I went to Radhakunda, it was like I felt really shocked. I don't know why. I felt very easy in Vrindavan, but when every time I go to Radhakunda, it's like you got to. It's really, really holy place. No sin should enter into that place. If one wants to sin, get away from Radhakunda, get away from Vrindavan, get away from anywhere actually, but not in Radhakunda, never. So Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, told us very clearly to be very careful how we deal with the holy places, and especially with Radhakunda. Like if when you take bath in Radhakunda, if you really want to take bath in Radhakunda, because the scriptures say that if you take bath even once in Radhakunda, you should, you will attain pure devotion. So, but you should be careful how you do it. You should learn how to do these things. It's not that you go and. I have a friend between the Radhakunda pandas, the people who are there. Every time he sees me, he says, "Oh, Krishna's devotees are here." Remember when I went to the Prakash today, where we commemorate the appearance of Radhakunda. And you know, there are many festivals, and in Vrindavana is quite a larger town. And when there is the streets are larger, so there are a lot of people, it's quite crowded, but you can walk, you can stay. But in Radhakunda, as many people go there from Radhakunda Prakat, but the streets are like half of those that you find in Vrindavan. So you really are there with tens or hundreds of thousands of people. And at midnight, since it's a time where Radhakunda appeared, everyone jumps in the kunda, but you have to be careful because so many people would be very difficult to climb up again. So you have to know how to swim. Otherwise, better you don't jump in the Radhakunda in that night. So it was like so tense, and everybody was chanting, and the dancing, it was difficult. Even if you lose your, I was there with my wife, so we were keeping each other's hand, because if you lose her, you're not going to find her again. It was such a place. So it's so they feel a lot about holy places in Vrindavan. We also have a very deep feeling for holy places, and we should make in such a way that every temple of our movement has got the same intense transcendental experience. It is not difficult. Just talk about Krishna, about devotional service, about philosophy. When you meet devotees, don't talk about, talk about Krishna. Any questions? The most embarrassing moment in my life is when I ask there are questions and nobody says anything. Because okay, thank you very much. It took me out of embarrassment.
Happy to go down twice. But I think because it's a matter of consciousness, is what consciousness you're entering, not only just you can enter with physically, you can be there for a long time, but I guess to feel you have to be at that level. I'm not at that level, so I didn't feel anything. I like that it is, I like the Kirtan and everything. That time Aitra Prabhu was there, so it was wonderful, wonderful darshan. But I think feel the Vrindavan, you have to have that conscious.
Krishna consciousness is not black and white. There are many degrees of gray between black and white. So it's not either you are completely transcendental that you feel something, or you are completely Maya, you don't feel anything. As you go on in your spiritual life, you start, every time you go, you will start to appreciate more and more Vrindavan or Or Mayapur, other places. And even if you, at the beginning, you are disturbed by presence or dynamics that you don't understand because you don't put them, it seems there is an incompatibility between what you know about Vrindavan and what you actually see of Vrindavan. You see? But you have to understand that what you see is what is helping you to see what actually Vrindavan is. Because you have to, if you want to visit Vrindavan, what to speak about staying in Vrindavan? I lived in Vrindavan 1.5 years without leaving it. So I know a little bit something about staying in Vrindavan. And it seems like disturbing things run after you. It's not that you close yourself, you just chant. They leave you in peace. They are capable to knock at your door asking for money. And it's always like this. So it's you have to see everything as a health. Those qualities without which the real Vrindavan cannot manifest in your mind, in your vision, in your heart. Some basic qualities like tolerance and humility. You cannot, having a big I-ness means consideration of yourself as an individual, I, then you cannot appreciate Krishna, because you are not, we think we are the center of our lives. That is, when we go to Vrindavan, that is me going to Vrindavan. And yourself, or ourselves actually, is in the center of our life, our experience. Until we don't move from the center of our lives, we don't put Krishna, Vrindavan will not manifest. And in Vrindavan, you see, if you have a little sensibility, or philosophical sensibility, or capacity of reflecting and translating what you see into a philosophical concept. In India, especially in Vrindavan, you see a lot. For instance, when Indians, when there is a huge, how you say, I don't find the, I want to say pack, because it's referring to animals, huge group, let's say, crowd of people arrive in the temple, they are all attached together, like this. For us, every time they do it with me, I say, I want to breathe, no? Then you start to reflect and say, am I so important that I want my place, that I want my space, that I want to be one individually? It's not the moment that I want to go to Krishna. Krishna is in the center. Who cares if I am so important to have half a meter of space, or if I don't have any space? Why have this right of having half a meter of space? Why should I protest if someone steps on me? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it, but in Vrindavan they actually do it. When you go for these big feasts, they jump on you. There are so many, millions of people. You cannot enter in the temple. If you enter, you don't get out. There are so many people going there. So it's and this is really prominent in Vrindavan, all holy places, and this is a lesson that we have to learn. Another lesson is tolerance. How can Vrindavan manifest if we are not tolerant? I remember one time we went for Varshan Parikrama. We had a group of God brothers going there. We having a big fun telling stories, and every one of us had to tell a story, otherwise he was kicked out of the group like this, you know. So every one of us, every half hour, had to tell a story. So I came down from the very long staircase going from Vrishabhanu's palace down, and I was waiting for the other group. And from the beginning I said, Manonath, this time you don't get angry with the Vrajavasis. Don't. Doesn't matter what they do, and they do. Doesn't matter what they say, and they say. You know, just tolerate. Tolerate and tolerate. So we went all wrong, and people, give me money, give me money, give me money, give me money. No, give me money. The more you say no, the more they ask. So better you shut up. You just leave them. But they don't leave you. So anyway, I said, this time I will not get angry. My Italian nature, sometimes it comes up. So anyway, I went down, and I was waiting for my God brothers to come down, and there was this very, very old sadhu with a group of other sadhus who approached me. And he said, please give me some money. I didn't have money. Because as a strategy, we give all our money to one person, to one devotee, so we actually don't have money. And he will give money, whoever and whatever it is right to give money. It's not that you give money to everybody, but when you go to a temple, you should leave something. When you go to this internet, you should not, you know, because that's your culture. But Westerners, they don't always understand how important it is to leave something in every temple you go. So give me money. And I said, no. He went like this for 20 minutes. And I said, man, not to tolerate. At the end, So when I took him from to the arm, I said, I don't have money. And I shook him a little bit, just a little bit, you know. Then at that moment, the group of my God brothers came, and they started to chastise me. Oh, you're not tolerant. Oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? You put your hands on a sadhu. Then I became really angry with them. No, they didn't see the whole 20 minutes of story. So then I reflected how qualified, because the qualities like tolerance and humility, you don't force them upon yourself. You have to practice them through years, and maybe sometimes even lives. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinada Pisunichanada, Rora Pisa Ishnuna, Amanina Manadera, he wasn't joking, he was talking seriously. He was saying you had to be as tolerant as a grass, blade of grass, that when you step on it, there's no protest. Oh, what are you doing? You know, I'm a Vrajavasi grass, you should not step on me. You know, I am the humblest blade of grass in the universe, so you should respect me. These kind of things. So it is something, either you have it or you don't have it. Either you are humble or you will be one. But how to develop humbleness and tolerance, you practice. And the holy places are very good for any iskcon also. If you are not tolerant, you don't stay here. So that's how Krishna helps us. We should not escape like many do from problems and difficult situations because they see, oh, this is not good for my spiritual life. It is very good for spiritual life. It is very good for spiritual life. If you stay in places where you have situations that disturbs you, that is very good for your spiritual life. You should welcome them and say thank you very much because I don't learn by philosophy. Philosophy gives you understanding, doesn't give you direct realization. Realization is something different. Jnana and Vijnana is two different processes. Jnana is when you learn philosophy. You study, you hear, and then you learn philosophy. Then, which are not two different processes, that there should be practices different in different moments, or different, they should practice together. Then you practice. Then, if you are taught about being humble or being tolerant, you go away when somebody tells you something, then what you have learned. That is the moment when you can learn tolerance. And there are many stories in the Shastras about this, many, many. How important it is to develop qualities. And then we can see Vrindavan. Vrindavan does not manifest to people, to unqualified people. We have seen even qualified people cannot see Vrindavan. Even qualified people. Even Balaram, I prepared my class the other day about Balaram, but Maharaj thought correctly that what he was saying was more important. But there was something, and he was right, of course. And there was one part that they would have talked about Balaram, that was that Balaram encompasses all rasas except one. And that rasa is Madhurya rasa. And for, because he wants to participate to Madhurya rasa, then he becomes a gopi. A very important gopi, actually. We don't know much about her, but it's very important. A gopi, which is Radharani's youngest sister, which is called Ananga Manjari. So even there are situations that even Balarama cannot enter. There are situations where Narada Muni cannot enter. There are situations what we speak about, you know, me or you. So it needs extreme qualifications. If we go to Vrindavan and we say, no, I don't have consciousness, better I don't go, this is not very wise. We should say, Vrindavan is difficult, I will go, because it is a difficult place. And then I will learn. The same living in a temple. Also living in a temple is the same logic. Living in a temple is not easy, yes, but it is exactly what it will make you advance in your spiritual life. It's easier to lock the door and, you know, and let only devotees we like to enter. But when you live in the temple, like Maharaj and myself, and I don't know, many of you, probably we lived in ashram, and there were no locked doors. You know, the doors were wide open, and everybody would enter and say and do anything. You know. And so this is called sadhana. Sadhana means practice. And practice is the base of realization which comes after understanding.
Yes. What did you do?
What did you do?
The one that I had here.
I was writing books. I was chanting, and I was trying to make internet work, which I gave it up very, very, very rapidly.
You were trying to what?
To get internet together in such a way I could preach from Vrindavan. Forget it. That's impossible. Because monkeys, they eat wires. So, gone. All the telephones on internet. You know. So, it's just impossible. Twice they cheated me, saying, come, you know, I had a few friends, leave it. Come, and now it's very good. Now it's very good. I can chat, I can publish videos. I go there, and I just give it up. You lose the patience. The internet is another test from Krishna, Vrindavan. You just chant.
What were you writing?
I wrote several books in my native language, which is Italian. I'm Italian by birth. I wrote 14 books in Italian language. 14, yeah, many. Many subjects is Ramayana and Mahabharata, the Tathasandarbha, and then ABC of our philosophy, just introduction, which I am translating in English. I should be ready in 2 months. If you want to buy my books, welcome. And you find it on sale on the internet.
So say Ramayana and Mahabharata. Is it like a summary or
summary?
Translation
of? No, it's I tell the story. It's like the Mahabharata is about 300 pages. So that you cannot translate the Mahabharata in 300 pages. Would come a book big like this. The Ramayana also, although much shorter than the Mahabharata, still, if you translate it, it comes maybe 2,000 page book. So I put it in 280 pages in Italian language. And Italian devotees know, they read all my books.
And what brought you to the United States?
Oh, it's a long, long story. I was in Vrindavan, and I had a strong desire to preach after a long time in Vrindavan. I met one God brother, so ours, and he said, why don't you go to preach? And I said, yes, where should I go? And he said, well, I know a GBC who has a dire needs of help. And I said, who is he? And then I discovered he's the most wonderful devotee I ever met in my life after Srila Prabhupada, which is Guru Prasad Swami Maharaj. So he talked to him, and I invited me. He tolerated me since now it's 7 years I've been working with him. Latin America, since I speak Spanish also. And then going around between Panama and Costa Rica and Colombia and Puerto Rico, and then I came to the US, and Maharaj wants me here for because of service I'm doing in Costa Rica, which is my main place of service. And so he wants me here and trying. You know, if I can do some preaching here, it would be great. We are also preparing, it's almost ready, the first study course. I was invited to prepare a study course on the Yoga Sutra. It will be ready for the 15th of September. And so whoever wants to learn the real Yoga Sutra, because Prabhupada taught us what is the real Yoga Sutra, then we'll come to the classes. Then I will begin with a Bhagavad Gita course.
Question about that. I saw an email that you had sent out regarding that. So is it all of it is over 1 weekend? The whole course is during this 1 weekend?
The one what?
The course on the Yoga Sutra, is that just during 1 weekend?
It's only 1 weekend,
yes.
It's 6 hours. 6 hours. It's a very technical book, so cannot be, translated. If you translated a verse, then you had to explain it. And to explain such a book, it will take months. We cannot, you know, no one would be interested to know. But everybody wants to understand what is the real darshan or perspective of the Yoga Sutra. Because practically all the Yoga Sutra you find in the world are vitiated, is that correct? Vitiated by wrong understanding, by wrong perspectives. Only a Vaishnava, a devotee, can understand the Gaudiya Vedanta darshan of a book like, and we can prove that the Yoga Sutra is another is another Bhagavad Gita seen from another perspective. So I've been working on this course, and who wants to participate? Raise your hands. Thank you very much. Only 4. My God, I want more. Okay. Don't waste your time. We'll be ready the 15th of September. We are working with Nityananda Chanda Prabhu in preparing all the posters and certificates. We are going to have certificates of attendance of the course. So it's going to be, we are going to have some fun talking about philosophy.